I think that's a reasonable fear of Harry's, like, oh, I shouldn't touch shit because it might, like, bite my hand off. I have no idea what this is going to do. But is touching it with your wand really any better? You have this, like, highly magical device that, like, is the thing that, like, conducts the magic from you to the outside world is this wand, and that doesn't sound like a better idea to me.
I won't stick my finger in this electrical socket. I'll just use this fork.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's no good.
Could have just, like, dropped Fox in there.
Yeah, sure. Just put a bird in it.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 30, The Pansy.
Hey, this chapter is not about cups, it's about a bowl.
I think it's a basin.
Basin.
I think you're thinking of basin.
Basin, bowl.
Whatever it may be, where do you think it came from? Because we only see one of them in the entire series. Did Dumbledore make this himself?
I think it's just a bowl. Basically. I mean, everybody knows how to take memories from their head, and maybe Dumbledore just figured out that that's what you do with the memory. Once you got it out of your head, you put it in a bowl, and then you jump in the bowl.
Yeah, I feel like there's nothing particularly magical about the Pensieve itself that's like related to its function. It's probably just a bowl, kind of like how an ashtray is just a tray. There's nothing magical about it that makes it an ashtray. You just put ashes in it, and that's...
It's the ashes that are magical.
Exactly, ashes.
That's where the phoenix comes from. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why. Okay, so it's an ashtray. It's Fox's ashtray. That's why it's in Dumbledore's office.
And that's why Dumbledore is the only one to have a pensive, because he's the only one with a phoenix that needs an ashtray.
Ashtray. It's a weird word. Guys, ashtray sounds like pig Latin. Ashtray.
Wait, is that it? Did someone just like have a bowl of trash and they decided to have this other bowl of trash specifically for ashes and they just used pig Latin? Like, oh, it's ashtray now.
I feel like we should hold some kind of intervention for Fox. Fox really needs to quit smoking. It's so bad for him. It's gonna kill him.
But
you're right.
That would be pretty cool to be a phoenix, actually. So just like, if you're born, you know, as you are many hundreds of times, you're just born, you're just like, huh, I'm going to be a raging alcoholic this time around. It won't matter. I'll just be born again.
Like so many alcoholics, you'll be born again.
So not only is the ashtray a tray for his ashes, but it's also just like an AA meeting, you know? If a pensieve is simply a bowl and anyone can do this, it is surprising to me that they don't use this method of looking at memories more often, not necessarily for research purposes as Dumbledore does it, but just for recreation. Like, wouldn't that be real cool if they were just like hanging out and Harry was like, hey, want to see what it was like from my perspective when I got past that dragon? And then just like whoever wanted to could just go look in his memory and see it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really awesome. That would be like the coolest form of media that exists.
If all wizards know that you can extract memories and then view them later, you would think they would have like archives of goblin memories from the goblin wars that the classes could all explore during history of magic, stuff like that. Why do wizards just like read shit in books?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you had Nicholas Flamel. How old was he? Imagine the stuff he could have given you before he died.
Yeah.
He probably remembers all sorts of crazy things. Why is Bathilda Bagshot writing books? She should just be selling her memories.
Damn, that's creepy and cool. The memory black market. I wonder if you can remember, Slughorn does like the fake, he tries to alter his memory, but he does a really shoddy job of it. It's really obvious, but I wonder if like you take other people's memories and put them in your head or something like that and alter them. It's like you commit a crime, but then you can get somebody else's memory and put it in your head so that you have like an alibi because like you remember being somewhere else.
Memory charms are also a thing. Could you memory charm yourself? Could you commit a crime and then memory charm yourself so that even under the influence of Veritaserum, you just like wouldn't have the truth in your head?
Huh.
Speaking of fucking Veritaserum, we see some like big court murder trials, or not murder trials, but, you know, evil trials in this chapter. And, you know, we got Barty Crouch Jr. being like, no, father, I didn't do it. Trust me, I'm your son, whatever. Why would you ever have a fucking trial in a wizarding... If you're wizards, why would you have a trial where you don't have everyone...
wizarding thing.
Thing, if you're wizards and you have Veritaserum, why would you ever hold a trial where everyone is not on Veritaserum?
Well, I mean, if everyone was on, it would just be very awkward. Just... Look at that ugly man. Jesus Christ.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think Veritaserum is the same as Tourette's. I think you can still... It's more just like you can't lie. It doesn't say that you have to say everything on your mind.
There might be ethical concerns. Also, it might not be 100% reliable.
It's meta-Joe data. Joe speculated that wizards might not use Veritaserum because it might be not completely reliable in a legal way, in any legally binding way, and also that it works best on, like, surprised and confused victims versus if somebody has had time to prepare for it, then they might be able to magically trick it, or, like you said, trick themselves into believing something different or anything like that. But we see it used at the end of this book in a way that would make sense. A shallow stone basin lay there with odd carvings around the edge, runes and symbols that Harry did not recognize.
Because he didn't take ancient runes. Idiot. Wonder what it said. Wish Hermione had been there.
Hermione could tell us.
Yeah.
Damn it, Harry.
Why do you take divination?
Or care of magical creatures.
It's never too early to think about the future. You know what? I think it's never too early to think about ancient runes.
It's never too late to think about ancient runes, more like.
Why did Harry pick the worst electives?
I don't agree that care of magical creatures is the worst. I think it's fun, and you get to pet a unicorn if you're a girl, I guess, but... you get to play with the hippogriffs and the thestrals and all that stuff.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, if divination was actually, like, real, then it might actually be cool. It's only because the teacher's terrible and because apparently the subject isn't even in the wizarding world, fortune telling is even a hoax there. But,
yeah.
I guess from the descriptions of the classes initially, I might have picked the same as Harry, but it was only later that I feel like he picked the worst ones, where, like, ancient runes and arithmancy, those sound like things that I might have enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got to sit in those classes because Harry didn't take them. Why could these books have been about Hermione?
Anyway.
The silvery light was coming from the basin's contents, which were nothing like Harry had ever seen before. He could not tell whether the substance was liquid or gas. It was a bright, whitish silver, and it was moving ceaselessly, the surface of it becoming ruffled like water beneath wind, and then, like clouds, separated and swirled smoothly. It looked like light made liquid, or like wind made solid. Harry couldn't make up his mind. He wanted to touch it, to find out what it felt like, but nearly 4 years' experience of the magical world told him that sticking his hand into a bowl that's full of an unknown substance was a very stupid thing to do. He therefore pulled his wand out of the inside of his robes, cast a nervous look around the office, looked back at the contents of the basin, and prodded them.
Joe's way of having Harry stumble into the memory is just, ooh, it's shiny. It's what is that? I want to touch it. Can I touch it? Maybe I'll just touch it with my wand. That's not like really touching it. That's like, this is my wand.
I remember from my 10-year-old muggle chemistry class that there are solids, liquids, and gases. But what is this?
What about plasma?
It could be plasma. Electrons are free.
I think you might be onto something about, like, the weird way in which Harry is just, like, drawn to this object, like a raccoon finding something shiny. He's like, oh, what is this? Like, maybe that's a magic thing that, like, it reminds me a little bit of the veil in the fifth book.
Oh, yeah.
That before anything happens with Sirius and the veil, Harry's just like, that veil, there's, like, voices behind it. What's going on? And he just has, like, this weird fixation on this weird, like, energy he senses from the veil. Maybe memories have something like that where essentially you have a bowl of human memories. maybe that has some sort of magical pull on a mind that you just, like, are weirdly incensed by this, like, bowl of memories.
Yeah.
Especially if it, like, senses that related memories are in Harry's mind.
Mm-hmm.
See, guys, it makes sense.
Sure.
I like how he just finds some exposition. He's like, what is this substance? It's exposition. You just found the stuff that stories are made of. And so he just wanders into, like, an exposition factory, and just exposition happens, and then he leaves it just completely, like, without Joe having to work it into a plot or anything. She's just like, well, here's some.
Yeah, I like the thing that she came up with. I like the pensive.
I think it makes sense for Dumbledore to have a pensive.
Of all like the magical things we learn about in this world, I think that's a really cool one. Even if it is just a plot device, I mean, I think it's a really cool thing. I also think, though, the way she gets him there is just like, she didn't really make an effort to make it for Harry. Harry had no reason to just hop into the pot.
Yeah, also for it to be those three memories that were just like queued up, just like happened to be sitting there on Dumbledore's, pensive queue. It was just those are the three waiting there. And just, you know, of all the things he could have seen of Dumbledore's memory, he just sees the three Azkaban trials that are relevant.
Well, maybe the what memory comes up is in somehow determined by the user's state of mind. Like maybe I mentioned before that the pensive is just a bowl, but maybe it's not. Maybe it has some kind of interface that shows you the memory that it thinks you're looking for based on what's going through your head. And Harry's got this whole, you know, mystery plot going through his head, so it shows him things that are relevant.
He's just digging around Dumbledore's cupboards looking for exposition to help with his mystery plot, and here it is.
It's not just a bowl, it's an Apple device. It's got this very friendly interface. You just hop in and it's ready to go. No installation. Dumbledore retrieves him, and they get out, and first Harry says,
"Professor, I know I shouldn't have. I didn't mean the cabinet door was sort of open," and
Dumbledore says,
"I quite understand. I was using the pensive when Mr. Fudge arrived for our meeting and put it away rather hastily. Undoubtedly, I did not fasten the cabinet door properly. Naturally, it would have attracted your attention." "I'm sorry," mumbled Harry. Dumbledore shook his head. "Curiosity is not a sin, but we should exercise caution with our curiosity." "Yes, indeed."
You don't have to be that nice about it. Just went up to something without permission that he had no idea what it was and just stuck his face in it.
What did you want here, Dumbledore? Just be like, "Harry, no, you did a bad thing, Harry."
Lots of things are enticing, like cocaine and... But, like, if Harry had just found some cocaine in Dumbledore's cabinet and just snorted it, would Dumbledore just be like, "Well, you know, I shouldn't have left it there, probably"?
As long as he has an aphorism for it.
Curiosity is not a sin, but we should exercise caution with our curiosity. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
He doesn't give a shit. I think it's just that he just doesn't really care about stuff, Dumbledore. He's just like, "Well, he got in the basin. He got in the pensive. He saw this stuff. Well, you know, Harry, it is what it is. It does not do to dwell on what may or may not have happened to us. Let's just move on. Let's just do something else." We've been talking about the plot with Barty Crouch Jr. and Sr. and how that's a great mystery that's sort of a subplot of the book, but turns out to be the main plot of the book. And right here, you have, after Harry sees the memory with Crouch Sr. convicting Crouch Jr. and sending him off to Azkaban, and Harry it's just a really horrifying scene, and because it seems like it's just some teenage kid getting sent off to the Dementors. This is just another amazing little red herring here at the end where Harry just mentions this.
"Then Mr. Crouch's son might not have been involved?" And Dumbledore shook his head. "As to that, I have no idea."
She plants the seed that, so Harry's like, "Oh, wait, maybe that kid was innocent and Crouch Sr. is really horrible. What? Just another thing of, he was innocent, maybe."
I don't think we ever even get a final word on that either way, whether he was actually involved in torturing the Longbottoms or not. Like, well, I mean, we certainly know he is working for Voldemort and is, like, in the end, evil, but it's totally possible that he had nothing to do with the Longbottom torture and was wrongly sent to Azkaban it was only out of, like, being wrongly sent to Azkaban by his father and that spite that turned him bad and made him work for Voldemort later.
Oops.
Which means everything is Barty Crouch Sr.'s fault, because the second Voldemort thing wouldn't have happened had he not had the aid of Barty Crouch Jr., and that was a villain created by his overbearing father.
Yeah.
Like so many villains before him.
Don't get me started.
I won't.
How about the long bottoms?
I really liked that at the end when Harry, like, asks about that. And then in Harry's head, he's just like, shit, I've known Neville for 4 years and haven't asked about that. Like, my God, Neville's just been, like, this background guy in my life that, oh, yeah, he lives with his grandmother. He's this clumsy guy. And it seems totally reasonable up until now that he's never asked, because it's just, like, from the reader's perspective, Neville has never mattered.
Yeah, I don't understand Dumbledore's decisions about what he will and won't tell Harry. Like, I don't understand why he feels like it's his place to tell Harry that.
Was it just because Harry already knew because of the Pensieve and it was just, like, he was confirming it?
Yeah.
Because Dumbledore did tell him to, like, keep it a secret, so maybe Dumbledore just felt like he didn't have a choice, because, you know, what happened. He went into the Pensieve. Can't help that. Just, you know, curiosity.
Well, maybe he should fucking lock up his bowls when he leaves his office. It's Dumbledore's fault.
In the very beginning of the chapter, right after Harry goes into the office.
I wanted to talk to you, Professor, Harry said quickly, looking at Dumbledore, who gave him a swift, searching look. Wait here for me, Harry, he said.
Just again, with just the good Dumbledore moments of Dumbledore being just reassuring to Harry. I just like that, you know, Harry is just like, I need to talk to you, Dumbledore. And Dumbledore's like, yeah, okay. I mean, he makes him wait, but he just, like, gives him the searching look and assures him, just like, yes, we will. And then a couple paragraphs later, here's Harry saying,
he felt much calmer somehow now that he was in Dumbledore's office, knowing that he would be shortly telling him about the dream.
And I feel that too, just, it's all right now. You're going to talk to Dumbledore. Everything's good. Because Dumbledore's here, guys. It's Dumbledore with his twinkling eyes.
Jo completely dismantles that idea next book, because she's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's totally good, because, like, I feel like the Dumbledore-Harry relationship is, like, built up quite a bit in the fourth book, more than it was in the previous three. In the previous three, he's just sort of, like, this kooky headmaster. And then we get to know Dumbledore more in the fourth book, and then in the fifth book, when they aren't talking, that's why the absence is so palpable.
Yeah, it's good. Job, Joe.
Let me say one thing. Ludo Bagman. I guess that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.